listen, before we really get into the message, I want you guys to see these words on the screen. And I want to encourage you to start speaking and declaring blessing over your life. If there's anything in 2013, something that I'm going to do that you need to really listen, really need to listen on this one, is, man, I am going to do everything to wage war against the negative words that proceed out of my mouth. And I'm going to start speaking truth. I'm going to start blessing people. I'm going to start standing in the place of promise and not live in regret or not worry. I'm going to have hope on the promises of God. So if you see it up on the screen right there, I want to read that to you, and then I want to read a little story before I even get into the message. Well, good. You guys can keep playing if you want. That's fine. My wife and I have started declaring these truths over our lives and living in them. And I can tell you, when I begin to speak them forth, it stirs my inner man. It stirs me up, and it gives me hope. And I don't want to live in a false way, my Christian walk. I want to see signs and wonders. I want to see God do things in my life. I want to see God's activity in my life and in the activity of other people's lives. I do not want to live sermon to sermon. I do not want to just get through. I want to be an overcomer. That's my desire, and that's God's desire for each and every one of us in this room, that we would overcome the things that hinder us or the lies that keep us away from what God's truth and vision is for our lives. And so that's, even tonight, we're going to talk about the courage that it takes to confront things in our lives so that we're not held back. And where do we get that courage from? And we're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about intimacy. And then we're going to have a time of prayer tonight that we would become overcomers. And you know, this may resonate in your heart, and it may resonate in your heart for someone else. But we're going to stand firm. When you come in here on Tuesday night, you're going to hear the passion that we have for Jesus. There's many things that's tried to distract me from that passion. And I'm sure the same thing in your life. But I want to be passionate about knowing Him. I want to be passionate about living for Him. And I want to seek Him so radically that my life is filled with His presence in my life. I can't live separated from God. I can't live just thinking that God's going to make it through. I got to know on a day-to-day basis that God is with me and that God is for me. How about you? That He's for us. He is not against us. He's not mad at me. He's not angry at me. He loves me. And I want to understand that love at a whole nother level. But I want to declare the truths that He says from His word. And even what we're going to speak here in a minute, I'm going to have you guys repeat this with me in a few minutes. But I want to, this is declaration from the principles of the Word of God. And so I just want to speak it to you. It says, I declare that I will use my words to bless people, to bless people. I'm not going to use my words to condemn people. I am not going to use my words to cause division in people's lives. I'm not going to use my words living in the place of bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness. I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because it's a stinking cancer, that's why. And it will drive me nuts. And the enemy, his worship, is when we begin to live in bitterness or resentment or fear. I want to overcome the fears in my life. And I want to stand with God's promises and His truths. So I declare that I will use my words to bless people. I will speak favor and victory over my family, friends, and loved ones. I will help call out their seeds of greatness by telling them, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I love you. You are amazing. You are talented. You are beautiful. You will do great things in life. This is my declaration in my life. Amen. You can clap. This is where I want to live. This is how I want to speak. This is how I want to live my life for the rest of my days, over my family, over those that come against me. I want to speak blessing to them. The enemy tries to take you and me out because he tries to destroy our lives by words spoken that are negative, hurtful, and are a bunch of stinking lies compared to what God feels for us. I'm using stinking a lot tonight. Lies. Thank you. Because God wants us to understand how he views us and how he loves us, not how other people do that. If they've got problems with you, if they're coming against you, it's between them and God. But God loves you and he believes in you and he wants the best for you. And he wants you to speak it forth to yourself and to others. And when you begin to speak blessing, blessing follows blessing. Now listen to this little story. I want to read it out of this book. I don't tell stories too often or read them, but try to hang in there. When you speak the blessing over your spouse, over your children, over your students, or anyone in your life, you are not just using nice words. Those words carry God's supernatural power. They carry God's supernatural power. They release favor, ability, confidence, and God's goodness in extraordinary ways. We should make it our mission to speak the blessing into as many people as we possibly can. With our words, we can release favor into somebody else's life. Now listen to this little story. I hope it impacts you. I heard about a small girl who had a cleft lip. Her lip was a little bit crooked, and it made her smile awkward. When she was in second grade, other students would not play with her because she looked different. She grew up with these incredible insecurities. She just shrunk back, stayed to herself, and didn't really have any friends. And one day at school, it was conducting a hearing test. And the teacher had each student walk slowly away from her while the teacher whispered very quietly. The students were told to repeat out loud in front of the whole class what the teacher was whispering. For most students, the teacher would make general statements like, the sky is blue, there's a cat outside, today is Tuesday. The students would repeat each statement to show they could hear her properly. When it came time for the little girl with the cleft lip, she was so nervous and afraid. But after she passed the hearing test, the teacher smiled and told her in front of the whole class, I wish you were my little girl. When she heard the teacher's approval and the blessing spoken over her, it did something on the inside. It gave her a new sense of confidence, a greater self-esteem. Not only that, when the other students heard how much the teacher loved this little girl, their attitudes changed. Now they are all wanted to be her friend. They made sure to sit by her at lunch. They started inviting her over to their home after school. What was that? How did that happen? All of a sudden, the blessing was spoken not by a parent, which is good when a parent speaks blessing, but by an authority figure. And it released God's favor in her life in a greater way. When she became a young lady, the little girl often spoke of that day and said that that day was the turning point in her life. I think about that, and I think about what might have happened to that little girl if the teacher had withheld the blessing. What would have happened to that little girl if the blessing was withheld? What if she had just said something ordinary to her? Who knows where the young lady would be today? It's so simple, but it can have such a huge impact. And that's why you should get in the habit of speaking a blessing every chance you get. Amen? So tonight, let's read this together, okay, up on the screen right now. I declare that I will use my words to bless people. I will speak favor and victory over my family, friends, and loved ones. I will help call out their seeds of greatness by telling them, I'm proud of you. I love you. You are amazing. You are talented. You are beautiful. You will do great things in life. This is my declaration. Amen. Let it be. Let it be. I want to tell you where I got this. Have you ever heard of this guy? Joel Osteen. Okay. Now, some of you may like him. Some of you may not. It really doesn't matter. I'm going to speak blessing over you if you don't. But he's exercising declarations, and you can find this book anywhere. And it will encourage you, and it will, you speak it out. Don't worry what other people say about this guy or that guy. If you feel your inner man start to be strengthened, you get it. Well, I don't agree with this. Forget that junk. You know what? If it's life-giving, If it's from the Word of God, if it's from the principles of the Word of the Lord, then grab hold of it and proclaim it over your life. God is moving in a whole different bunch of directions and you can't keep up with Him. And He's doing it all over the earth. And so grab hold of truth and speak it and bless people. You don't mind me sharing this, do you, Roy? I want to share about John. Okay. John, our drummer, John, is a senior in high school. And John, Sunday night, he was going to work at Pizza Hut and lost control of his car, and he got broadsided. And it was a heck of an impact, and took him to the hospital. Matter of fact, Roy and the family were playing a game at home, and they heard the sirens. And every time they hear sirens, they begin to pray blessing over whoever that is. Of course, they didn't think that was their son. And the good news is that John's okay. He's scraped up, he's bruised up, he's got a concussion. He's going to have surgery on his thumb, but he's speaking, and he's alive. And we were thanking God this morning because of, you know, God's protection was with him. And so even this morning, I texted, you can use texting to bless. Okay, or you can use it to curse. It's up to you. And I texted John and just said who we believe John is and what he's going to be. And I got a text back from Debbie, and she said, I let John read it, and then I read it out loud. And we shouted yes over him, of that this is a young man that's going to walk integrity and strength and in the ways of God. He is a blessing. And if you know John, he is a blessing. And so we just spoke that out. And, you know, I did it from a sincerity of heart, and immediately it strengthened John, and it strengthened Deb, and probably strengthened Roy and everyone else. Because you just speak blessing. Please get this and hold on to it. Tonight, let me see where my timeline is. I've got just a few minutes to speak to you tonight. And what I want to challenge you with, besides what I just read to you about walking and living in blessing, I want you to know that in the days ahead, in the days now, and the days ahead, it's going to take great courage to walk your life out. It's going to take great courage to live a life for the Lord. I mean completely and absolutely. It is not for the faint-hearted. It's going to take great courage. And I believe that one of the ways that great courage is manifested in your life and in my life is through worship and intimacy with God. Through worship. Because worship brings you into that place where you begin to have an intimate relationship with God. It also brings you into that place that you begin to trust Him because you feel His presence and you know that He's there. So I'm going to encourage you tonight to make a divine resolve that you're going to trust Him and you're going to worship Him. I want to speak about David, King David, because he was a worshiper and he was a man who trusted God. And he was a young man who was rejected and mocked, just like the little girl. But he lived for the Lord. David was a man of great courage. And it wasn't just human courage. It was spiritual courage. It was the presence of God. He was rooted and grounded in trusting and worshiping the Lord. And anytime you and I face trials in our life or any kind of tribulation, I want to make sure that I have a supply of courage to live out my life for God. A supply of courage. And I can tell you that fear for a long time apprehended my life and controlled my life. Some of you may be struggling with it even tonight. And understand that God has a way to free you out of it. He will make a way and He will show you the way. And His love will free you from it. So I believe that tonight, that we're going to be rooted and grounded in trusting the Lord. And so when we go through things, if we live in the place of worship, if we live in the place of trust, I believe we're going to begin to have that courage that's necessary to go forth. Many of you have heard the story, of course, of the Bible story of King David. You've heard it over and over and over and over. And it's probably been told to you. But I'm going to tell you that that is just not a good Bible story for Sunday school. It is a reality of a life that said yes to God when there was no reason he should say yes to God under his circumstances. And he trusted the Lord. So I want to kind of talk about him tonight. And I want to question you, who are you worshiping and who are you really trusting when it comes down to just sitting quiet before the Lord? Who are you worshiping and who are you trusting? Is your worship part-time or is your worship full-time? God wants us to worship him full-time in everything that we do and everything that we say. That's not radical Christianity, that's normal Christianity. I want to encourage you that we can defeat any opposition that comes into our life if we will stand firm with God. Every man and woman in this place can have courage to make it through the days ahead because God wants to line you up. And I believe that worship aligns us in a place of courage with God. Courageous people look to God and they trust his guidance, not the guidance of man, but they trust him. And they know he's got their back. And that's where we need to be. I believe that for a long time, we've trusted too much in men and women in the pulpit and not God alone. I believe that real leadership is from the place of servanthood. It's not from a place of trying to control you for some man's vision. Every one of you in this room have a dream and a vision from God. And good leadership will free you to walk in your God-given right, your God-given talent, your God-given gift. And that this pulpit is used to do one thing, to point you to Jesus and say it's all about Jesus. It's not about man. And with God, all things are possible, not with man. In Israel, I was amazed because one of the little things that I learned a lot of things in Israel. But one of the things was that the shepherd leads from behind. I almost wanted to walk back there and start talking to you guys from behind. I don't know. Because the shepherd leads from behind the sheep. You know why? Because if he leads in front, they get too much in a single file and begin to follow him. But from behind, it widens the grazing area. And they don't even know that they're being led. He's behind them. But they're all grazing. So what does that mean? They have more nourishment inside of them because they can graze in healthier areas. Because they've spread out. Do you get what I'm trying to say? When you lead from behind, when you encourage people, when you speak blessing, they will begin to find their niche and their calling and who they're called to be. They may stay in your church or ministry, or they may leave. But if you're the right leader, you're okay with it because you want the kingdom to advance. You don't want to build your own kingdom in your own church, in your own area. You want God to be glorified by who is in this room right here. I don't want you to be part of this ministry. I want you to be part of the kingdom of God. And if God leads you here, that's great. But you stay where you are, where you've been planted, and you proclaim his goodness, and you proclaim his kingdom, and you let people know that you're not trusting in man, but you're trusting in God, and you're living for him, and you're worshiping him. That doesn't mean you dishonor people in the pulpit. It means you honor people, and you bless people. But understand this, God has a plan for you. God, will you say that with me? God has a plan for me. God has a plan for me. And his plan is perfect. And it's good. And it's for you. And I can tell you this. If you feel a lot of division or you feel separation a lot of time when you're around other Christians, if you will align yourself in the place of intimacy, worship, and the word of God, you'll see those things begin to fall by the wayside. Because you're not going to look to anyone for validation or affirmation. When it comes, you're saying yes and thank you, but you're looking toward God for your journey and not toward man. Get it? You got to say got it. Get it? Okay. We got to get this. We got to understand this. That doesn't mean you get some ammunition and start, you know, blistering people with the revelation that God begins to give you. God will begin to open up doors for you. And when he opens up a door, what's the deal? When he opens up a door, nobody can shut it, right? And when he shuts a door, nobody can open it because you're trusting him. And this is how we're moving in this day with revelation and understanding of the word of God, that God is beginning to raise up people all over the earth that are worshiping him and giving him glory, that are getting healed. And no longer have separation and dividedness all in their heart. God's beginning to heal the hearts of people because there's a lot of protectors out there. We protect ourselves all the time because we've been hurt. If you have an anger issue, I've had an anger issue, and I just got healing 4 days to deal with it a little bit more in my life. And you know why? Because I've stuffed it down. Okay, I'm just being honest, I stuffed it down, and when it would get about right here, I'd choke it back down. You know what I'm talking about? No, you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, all right. And I was like, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to be like that. I want to be in the place of peace, that my heart is peaceful, and that all the hidden areas in my heart, I've said, okay, Lord, have at them. Change me. Help me. And the other day, right in the office, God set me up with David Raymer and a few others, and the next thing you know, I'm getting prayed for, and I'm asking Jesus to bring healing. We started talking about this anger coming up in us at times, and how we would stuff down. And here's the deal. If you have anger, many times it's from a place of hurt. Listen, this might help you. From a place of hurt, it's from a place of sadness, and it's from a place of what? Fear. Because fear is always the root motivating the anger to come out. And I was sad over something that happened in my life as a young boy. And I confessed it, and I talked about it. And all I did was ask Jesus to come and speak to me and bring healing. And Dave was leading me. We were both sobbing a little bit. And immediately the Lord spoke to me and showed me the truth in that pain, in that place. But you know what? Check it out. I would not have had courage to go there if I wasn't intimate with God and worshiping God. I wouldn't have. But because of my relationship with God, I didn't care what the people around me thought. Well, Bob's the founder, director of this ministry. I didn't care. I wanted healing. I want to get healed up. You don't have to live in this body. I do. You see what I'm saying? So I don't want to play like got it all together. We don't have it all together. We're on a constant journey of healing, on a constant journey of being more Christ-like. And when we push it away, when we say, no, I don't want any of that, what we're doing is we're just delaying. We're delaying walking in the fullness of who we're called to be and reflecting more of his image in our life. You guys with me? Courageous people look to God and they trust his guidance. How many of you have been mocked, doubted, rejected, and laughed at? I want you to think of King David. King David was mocked by who? His brothers and his own family. You ever, you know, I won't go there, okay? I don't want a whole place filled up here for healing. We might have to go there. But how many have been mocked? Brothers and sisters, I mean, come on. He was mocked by his brothers. David, he's a young guy. He was doubted by Saul. Have you ever been doubted? Have you ever been mocked? He was doubted by Saul. He was rejected by his father. His father didn't even consider him to be with the other brothers. So his own dad rejected him. And the story goes this way, I've learned, that he was even put aside with his mother away from Jesse and the other brothers, and Jesse had already had concubines in his household. So he wasn't even having a relationship with David's mother. They were in another land. They were in another place. Doesn't say that with a lot of times in the Bible story. But he was rejected. And then finally Samuel pushed it on him and said, okay, I've got another son. And he brings him. So he was rejected by his father. He was laughed at and he was taunted by who? Goliath. Goliath laughed at him and he taunted him. But he knew that defeat, David knew, wasn't an option for him. It wasn't an option for him. People that are courageous know that defeat is not an option. People that are courageous because they know their God, they do not look for a place of escape, to escape from something that's coming at them. They confront it and they deal with it. They set their gaze on advancing. They set their gaze on victory. Men and women of courage, they know their success lies in an unshakable God. They know it and they live it and they say yes. They're in right relationship. They're in right worship. And when that happens, it brings everything into alignment for them. Because they're in right relationship. They're in right worship before the Lord. I'm going to show you something here. If we have time. Yeah, we do. I'm going to show you a video. And this video is from Israel. Some of you know it. Some of you don't. That I went to Israel for 14 days. It was not a tour. It was a mission. And we went there with 180 worshipers. And we were on an assignment. We ended up in Zedekiah's cave under the Temple Mount, under the mosque. We had a bus bring all of our instruments. We walked through the old city, and from the Western Wall, and we made our way to Zedekiah's cave. The bus showed up. We got all our instruments, our PA, and we went down inside a cave underneath the Temple Mount where Jesus is coming back to rule and reign, the most sought-after piece of real estate on the earth right now. And we were right at Samuel, where Samuel trained all the prophets. We were right on that hill also. And listen to this. We were with a man, Jewish man, a Messianic Jew. He was a general in the army, and he was also a historian and archaeologist. And he has real estate on that mound of where Samuel trained the prophets. And right in the middle, as he was speaking to us, this will really help you guys. It helped me. He was talking about Jesus, and right in the middle was a Christian equipping area. To the left was a mosque where Muslims, right to the left. That's where they equip their people. And right to the right were the Jews, where they equip their people. Check this out. When he said it, you know how we always like, you know, we're kind of against the Muslims or, you know, the Jews, they need to get Jesus. You know how we're all like that? This guy was so cool. And he says, isn't it amazing? Right in the middle is the equipping and training of the Christians. And why are they in the middle? Because they have the answer for the Muslims and they have the answer for the Jews. And we are so at peace because we know we have the answer, and it won't be long till they'll all be brought in under one tribe. And when he said that, something in me just like, yeah, yeah. Why have all this attitude and all this stuff? We have the answer. We know who he is. You get what I'm saying? It was just amazing. So on this video, let me first of all set this up. I wrote a couple things down. This is in Timnah National Park, and this is the home, right in this area is the home where Jethro and Moses and his wife lived. Jethro's tabernacle was right in that area. But there was also a site right there that Ramesses, who was Moses' stepbrother, okay, he also had a temple there for Hathor. And Hathor was the Egyptian goddess of turquoise. And so it was right, all this pagan worship was right there. It was in that place that Moses learned to become a shepherd in that same area. We proclaimed that day just the truth of who God is. And so here we are, and God told Ray Hughes, who was leading this, to look in the sky for signs. And so here we are in the place where there's all these different gods. Now, what they did in that park on the mountains next to us, you won't be able to see it, but they had light cannons that were projecting false gods on all the rocks around us. So here we are in this place worshiping God, Jesus, and proclaiming who he is, and all these other false gods are on the rocks. And check this out, guys, and this is something else we really need to learn. We did not pay attention to those gods at all. We didn't acknowledge them and say, in the name of the true Lord Jesus Christ, we bind you. We didn't do any of that. You know what we did? We paid no attention, but all of our attention was to Jesus. And so we worshiped for like 3 hours in that place. And we begin to look in the sky, and we were singing things like, sing Zion, sing, those who trust in the Lord. And right at the end, we were looking in the sky, a big Z comes up in the sky, and I think I have a picture of that. Can you put that picture up? It doesn't look, oh, there you go. And we were like so blown away, because there was no jets, there was nothing, and all of a sudden, there's a Z for Zion right there in that place. We didn't pay attention to the rocks with the false gods. We had paid attention to the sky and the sign and the wonder that God showed us in that. And after we worshiped in that place, this is amazing. All of a sudden, Ramey Hughes steps up to the microphone, and this is what I'm going to show you. And she just starts singing a prophetic song, a spontaneous song of that these rocks, this area has heard our praise and our cry from this place. Okay, and we're headed now, you understand, we're headed to the Temple Mount. So this is one of the stops that we made. Can you play it? Can you bring the lights down so they can see? Yeah, good, you got it.
With the songs we pray.
There's the lights down to the left.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. May the stones record the truth we lose. May the stones remember every song, Every song we sing, may the stones declare, you are living here. Age to age, isn't it?
proclaimed that God would, it was the season that it was supposed to rain, and we proclaimed that, because that's their water source, that's their life source, and we proclaimed that God would just pour out a blessing on the Sea of Galilee. And we found out when we got back here that after, well, when we were even there and started getting off, it started raining. And, you know, I believe it was the Lord. And then we found out that they've had record rainfalls, and it's higher, the Sea of Galilee, than it's ever been before. And we've heard that exactly. We've heard that nobody, we shouted and proclaimed for 2 hours on that sea and released a sound to the north, south, east, and west of blessing and speaking blessing. God is up to something, guys, and it's just not here in Elkhart, Indiana. It's all over. And God is releasing singers, musicians, people that pray, people that love God in the Holy Land, releasing a sound and proclaiming he's coming and it won't be long. And so tonight, I just want to pray with you, and I want to encourage you, and I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to draw you into that place that you live a courageous life because of your intimacy with Christ and because of your desire to worship him. And that you allow God to bring healing to your life. And don't be stubborn. Be stubborn about God. But don't be stubborn not to let him into your life. Let him move in your life. Let him speak to your life. Pray for his presence. Pray for God to apprehend you for dreams and for visions. And oh, to speak blessing over folks. And not a curse. Put that declare back up there if you don't mind. Can you put that, you got it up there? Yeah, let's say that again together. I declare that I will use my words to bless people. I will speak favor and victory over my life, my family, loved ones. I will help call out their seeds of greatness by telling them, I'm proud of you. I love you. You are amazing. You are talented. You are beautiful. You will do great things in life. This is my declaration. So, Lord, I come before you today, and I just intercede for all my brothers and sisters before me. And we ask, God, that today that you would help us. That whether people have mocked us or doubted us or rejected us or laughed at us and taunted us, that we would expect you, Lord, to have your way in our lives. And we know that the opposition comes many times from surprising sources, from places we didn't expect. But Lord, we ask that you would give us strength today and courage today. Holy Spirit, just come and speak to us. I want to just take a moment. I want you to just do this exercise with me. Just close your eyes, and we're just going to be quiet, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us and see if there's something that the Lord spoke to you tonight or wants to speak to you even right now, so that we would be in right relationship and right worship. Jesus, we ask for you to come. Holy Spirit, have your way and speak to us tonight. I just want to pray, and if I'm interrupting the Holy Spirit, I just pray that he will continue to speak to you through the evening. Lord, I just ask again, I speak blessing over every man and woman in this place, that they would have a divine resolve to just be worshipers of you and to trust you. I thank you for them. I thank you for all the beauty that's in every person in this room, all the greatness that has been deposited. You created us in your image, O Lord. And so, Lord, may we trust you. And, Lord, I ask that you would help us with anger, help us with fear, that you would bring healing and truth into our lives. Thank you, Lord. And help us to worship you and only you, the one true living God, and to know that we're part of an awakening and a movement at the end of the age where everyone will know that you are the King of glory, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And Lord, I ask that you would help us in our insensitivity. I ask, Lord, that you would help us that are using gifts and we haven't taken time to be with you, but we just live in our gift more than living with you. Change us, God. Change us all. We pray this, and that we would find courage in the face of every challenge that we're confronted with on a daily basis, weekly, monthly, and annually. We love you, Jesus. Just tell him you love him. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Lord, and thank you so much. Amen and amen. God bless you. Go in peace. I hope you were encouraged tonight, and you got to drink a good, cool water, okay, to take it with you on your journey. Don't give up.